This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And we have the lovely and vivacious and smart and just can't stop laughing Diana Kyler on the other end of the inner tubes.
The laughing kitty, meow meow.
So what's going on in North Carolina?
Well, it is, let's see, the first thing I think about when I think about North Carolina is looking out the window and looking at the weather. So I'm looking at the weather, and it's just been the last few days just been kind of cloudy and not rainy, but just cloudy. And it's just weird. And I wish that would change at some point.
Are the Carolinas known for fast changes in weather?
Somewhat, not really to the degree that, say, Florida is known for that. but yeah, I mean, it can change pretty quickly, especially in the spring and fall.
We are on the radio in Florida. I want to get on more stations everywhere, but especially in Florida.
Yeah.
It's hard though, because this is we have 13 co-hosts, but it's kind of a one man shop as far as running it. And I am the host on almost every show, or the co-host. It's the Freedom Fiends are kind of like the Liberty J School or the Liberty Journalism School, where we're teaching the next batch of apprentices coming up who are going to be the libertarian mouthpieces and yakkers when I'm too senile in a couple of years here to talk coherently on the radio.
In a couple of years, what?
I'm kidding. Yep. But
is there something you're not telling us?
I don't know. I slept too much last night. Usually on the weekends I get 3 or 4 hours sleep because I'm a night person, and this show is weird in that it's the only, as far as I know, and the publisher of Talkers Magazine, who should know, I talked to him about this. So it's the only show, syndicated show in America, that is a swing shift show. We are a nighttime live show during the week and a daytime show on the weekend. And I'm on, I don't do the Sunday night show, and the Friday show is the best of, but I do 5 shows a week, 2 on the weekends during the day, and 3 at night during the week. So my sleep schedule is never good. And on the weekends, I generally sleep 3 or 4 hours. I slept 7 hours last night, and my brain doesn't know what to do with it. I'm kind of like reverse fogged. Yeah.
So yeah, I had hit or miss sleep last night. It was, I definitely could have slept better and longer. And yeah. I still woke up at 11:30, which, yeah.
Yeah, but I actually call the radio stations myself and book us. You know, this is kind of, we're not Rush Limbaugh. We don't have a team. We're not Hannity. We haven't
thank God.
We don't have an industry of, you know, saying Obama. We do have an industry of saying Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, but we're not deluded. We don't think Romney will save us from the tyrannies. We're not, you know, we don't like George Bush. We think he was I actually don't think George Bush was evil. I think he was, I don't even want to say stupid. I think he was a very simple person. And I think Dick Cheney.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta be careful what I say about Dick Cheney. I live in Wyoming, and like, I mean, the local school sports stadium is named after him. He could send goons over to my house. Every restaurant, every law firm, every office you go into in this town, like 90% of them have a picture of the proprietor shaking hands with Dick Cheney. He was born in Nebraska, one state over, but he grew up in a house about 8 blocks from here, a little yellow house that does not have a plaque on it or anything. Just everyone knows.
Oh, he grew up in your town?
No, I live in the town. It's his town. I just live here.
He grew up in your town, Michael?
He grew up in Casper, Wyoming. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, so I make the calls. I call up the stations and say, Hey, this is Michael Dean. I just got up. Would you like to put our show on? We're not left. We're not right. I don't know. I have the whole rap, but I'm usually more awake than that. But it's really hard to call those stations now that I'm doing a nighttime show because I finish at 1 a.m. I edit it, promote it, get done at 2 a.m. And then I'm jazzed from having to drink so much coffee late at night to do a good show at night that I don't get to bed till 4 or 5 or 6. And I don't get up until program directors have left the building. You know, the people that put you on the station, on the local station, that I have to be calling. Yeah, I mean, those guys usually get in at 4 a.m., whatever their local time is, and then, do the morning show themselves and then make all the business calls and answer emails and stuff, and then leave by like noon or 1 when I'm barely getting up. So we might be at 26 stations for the rest of our life. We added those all in 1 year, but I don't know. It's kind of like a podcast plus some radio, you know. But I guess what I'm getting at is if there's people out there who listen on the internet, or if you're driving through another town and hearing us and we're not on in your town, call the local talk station and say, there's this show. Ask for the program director. Be extremely polite. Leave a message if you can't get a hold of them, then call back in a week. I'm asking, Free Talk Live does this all the time, and they've gotten on stations this way. I'm asking people, if you want us on in your station and we're not on in your town, call the station and ask the program director, say, hey, my friends and I listen to this thing on the radio, the fiends on the internet. We'd like to hear them on the radio. People would dig them. They're on Genesis Communications Network. I can send you to the website. And yeah, man, help us out.
Yeah. Free Talk Live is actually on one of the local stations here, a local AM radio stations. And I got to talk to someone who represented that particular radio station when I was at the Bitcoin conference here in Raleigh. And he suggested I call the program director, and I hadn't done that yet. Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, I'll give you the phone number. Okay. I have the number for that guy.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because Free Talk Live and I are buds, and we exchange information, secret databases. Here's a funny thing too. Most stations that we're on like, 100% of the time, but some of them, a couple of them, the only way they'd put us on is by having us preemptible during a certain sport, which means we're on solidly 9 months a year, 10 months a year, whatever. And then like during football season, we're only on every other Saturday or Sunday or something, you know?
Right.
And in my town in Wyoming, that's one of those, we have one of those deals. So yesterday, and we're played delayed. So it's another thing that the editor of Talkers Magazine told me is I am one of the few syndicated radio hosts in America who can actually listen to himself on the radio in his own town. Because most people, now that radio syndicating can be done from anywhere, a lot of people are not on in the town they live in. But if they are, they're on live. So I'm not only in the town I live on the radio in the town I live in, but it's 2 hours. It starts an hour after the show's over.
Huh.
So I can actually edit the show, get it up, promote the podcast, and then go like sit in the backyard and get some sunshine.
Listen to yourself.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was doing that yesterday in the backyard, and like 38 minutes into the show or something, we got preempted by the pregame for, I don't know, is it football? What's going on now?
Football.
Yeah,
yes.
You'd know.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would I know that?
I don't know. Because you live in the Carolinas, and I think they teach it in grade school there.
Yeah. And Saturday is the day for college football.
Yeah. But it was funny because I was ranting about the CIA, blah, 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 murders people around. Like, I was really pushing the envelope hard. Like, stuff you'd never hear on Rush Limbaugh or Hannity or Glenn Beck.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They just say, the president's horrible. The Democrats are horrible. And I was like,
right.
It's all horrible. And the CIA murders people and uses racist backronyms to name them. And it was like mid-sentence, I got cut off and it went to like, and here we are and the Sooners football is beginning today.
Sooners.
I don't know what it was, but it was like, to me, it sounded like, And they're totally right to do that. That's our agreement. They can do that. Mm-hmm. But it totally sounded to me the way I believe, like when they decide that they're going to take all of the anti-government or, not agreeing with the government hosts off the air, like Obama's just going to push a button on his BlackBerry that's just going to be like, You know, and it's going to go to something like sports. Like, this is too real. We need to go to the Coliseum and have some bread and circus to entertain, to like dumb down the minds of the minions. Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. It felt like the central scrutinizer took over my show. It was pretty funny.
Sounds like it.
So what else is going on?
Nothing much.
Nothing you want to talk about on the radio. That's cool. I understand.
No, there's lots I'll talk about on the radio. You know me. Well, I'll just go on and talk about my whole life and just spill it all out there for the world to listen to.
Well, if you want to compulsively disclose, go ahead.
One of the things I thought about talking about is recently I've gone through all within a period of a couple of weeks, three of the top 10, well, actually only two of the top 10, but the anniversary of one of the other top 10 stressful life events or most stressful life events. Yeah.
What are they? Like divorce, yeah, having a divorce, child, death of a family member, moving. Yeah, well, moving is one of them.
Do you know that marriage is up? That marriage is it, you know, one of the
marriage
top 10
shouldn't be.
Life
Me getting married, yeah. My wife and I getting married was basically very unstressful because we didn't involve families and we didn't have a big, you know, bridezilla event. We lived together for a year. We lived in Shin for a year. And then one day I just said, let's get married. And we wanted to go do it that day. But, you know, being a government bureaucracy monopoly marriage licenses, it took us a week. And we went and, you know, we looked on the website, found out what it took to do it. Had to go to the courthouse twice, once to fill out the paperwork and get the permission slip to get married. You know, the marriage license to apply for it. And then we came back another day and it was the day they have the marriages and it was in Southern California. And it was like, it was nuts. There were like 100 families marrying someone off in there. And a lot of them like to go to the courthouse, like wore tuxedos and wore big flowing Cinderella gowns and had like
in the courthouse
and had like 27 relatives with them and ring bearers. And it was mind blowing, man. And someone actually tried to cut in front of us. Like when our number was called, you know, somebody else scooted up there and like tried to take our slot to get married.
What?
And we had to like argue with somebody. No, we're next in line to get married. And we brought one person. You were legally required to bring a witness. And I brought a good friend of mine who happened to be an ex-girlfriend who my wife is friends with, who was our witness and our photographer.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
We'll be back. With the signs of stress countdown on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. Michael Dean. So, Diana Kyler, I know there's a lot of, you there?
Are you safe?
You've been contacted by the government? Okay. I know that there's radio shows where people who aren't therapists, I'm not mentioning names, psychoanalyze people, but I'm not going to do that. But you and I are friends. And we kind of help each other with, you know, things that are happening in our life. And we're just so, like, compulsive, disclosive, and have, you know, so little boundaries that we're just going to do it on radio.
Yeah.
So hop up on the couch, young lady, and tell, I'm sorry, and open your brain. No,
it's fine.
So what's going on? You wanted to talk about this. You brought it up. So go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, only reason why I wanted to talk about it is just because I feel like often when people share their experience, if somebody's listening that is going through something similar, it can help them. And that,
yeah,
you know, ultimately, you know, I hope to help people one way or another.
And if I sound like, I will preface this by, if I sound like I'm steering you in any of this, I'm not trying to play therapist, and I'm not trying to, basically I'm trying to get it to fit to the radio format that's interrupted by ads and hopefully have a redemption in the third act, which is not an artificial convention. It's a, if I'm doing this with, if I'm having a, let's share each other's problems with any friend of mine off air, I'm going to try to reach some conclusion of, well, this may be hopeful. So, you know, because hope is good. So go ahead. What's
hope
going on in
good.
That little
Absolutely.
Brain, that little juicy brain of yours? A big little juicy brain of yours.
It is kind of big, but man, let me tell you, this is off topic a little bit, but I have the biggest head. My head will not fit most hats, even men's hats. It's crazy.
Me too. Anyway. Maybe that's, you know, maybe every one of the Freedom Fiends hosts has that in common. Maybe we are the big juicy Ooh. Brain club. Actually, brain size, human brain size doesn't have that much to do with intelligence. It actually has more, it's actually got more, the more accurate indicator is, I don't want to get into mammalian physiology. It's basically it's basically ratio of brain size to body size, and also within the species. Not, I mean, from species to species, and also the number of folds in the brain. But okay, go on, go on. What's going on in the folds
That's
of your
very
brain?
Very interesting. In the folds of my brain. Well, recently, I have gone through a couple of situations where are supposed to be, you know, in the top 10 life events, one of which was my divorce was final a couple of weeks ago.
Isn't that supposed to be like party? Woohoo.
Well, yeah, in a way, but I mean, you can't, I think that if you deny the grief and the sadness that kind of comes with that, it's likely to come back and bite you later. Yeah, in some way, shape,
it was
or form.
It was a mostly amicable divorce, right? There were no no boots on the ground in this one.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's hard. You know, one of the hardest things about it is that it's like I lost a whole side of my family after the divorce. I don't really stay in touch with his family. I had hoped to stay more in touch with his mom, but haven't really done that. And you know, because it just a lot of times it just seems awkward. In a way, and I feel like I have to explain myself, and I don't know. It just, you know, things just haven't worked out where I can really, you know, still kind of stay in touch with his family and everything. But, and so, you know, and it wasn't all bad. You know, there were definitely good things about our marriage, and you know, one of the things was that we raised a daughter together, and we did a pretty good job of that. And, you know, but the two of us were just not compatible. And that's really kind of what was very sad about it for me was, you know, kind of realizing that I had spent basically 20 years of my life with someone that I was entirely incompatible with. And, well, not entirely. I mean, we did get along in some areas, but not the really important ones. And then the other thing that happened recently was I was not laid off, but my contract and my job expired on Friday. So now I'm unemployed. I don't think I've been unemployed in 25 years. I think I have had one job after another. I had one job for 17 years total. So it's just very weird to be my age and be unemployed.
Can you take some time off? Do you have the luxury of taking some time off or being luxurious about your search for a new job so you can get one you really want?
Yeah, luckily I can. I don't, you know, I'm not, the money part is really not my biggest concern. It's more thinking about what does this say about me that I'm 49 years old and unemployed, you know? And
I think it means you're like most of America, probably, the way that they're wrecking the economy.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what I had to be really careful of was to not let that be a reflection on who I am as a person. You know, this doesn't define me whether I have a job or not. This is not me.
And now that we've hit the roots of the most important things inside your brain, we're going to stop and go to a commercial. We'll be right back on the Freedom
Fiends.
That's
fine. I need to take a break.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Hey, this is some Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends, delving deep into your brain, and we do practice meow therapy, something I invented, and we're, this is Dr. Fraser Crane coming to you live from Cafe Nervosa. On the line, we have Diana calling from North Carolina. Diana, I'm listening.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I'm listening.
Okay. All right. So I was talking about the job loss. And I think that more really, probably more than anything lately has had a little bit of an effect on my, I can't think of the word, but my mental state, I guess, in a way, and the way I perceive myself in the world. And I kind of let it for a couple of days make me feel like a big, fat, unemployed loser.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your job? And by the way, for anybody who thinks I'm pretending to psychoanalyze somebody, I'm not. My friend Diana wanted to talk to me about her issues today. She suggested doing it on the radio because she thought it could be helpful to other people who might be going through the same thing. I don't do this. I don't take, you know, I don't have people call in or Skype in and try to psychoanalyze them. I'm not only not a licensed therapist. I'm not even a qualified therapist, and I don't claim to be. I'm just a friend talking to a friend here. So what is your job, if you don't mind saying what it is?
Okay. Well, my job was, and it was actually the first time I'd ever done this type of work, and it was software testing. And I was brought on at one of the best companies really in the world to work for. And I don't want to give them free advertising.
Okay, but you didn't like get fired. Your contract just ended. Do you work through an agency? Can you get
I worked through a contracting agency, and they actually thought they had another position for me, but they didn't.
Okay.
So basically I was a software tester. I'd only done that for a year and a half, and I was brought on because of my experience with essentially working with data. And that's what I've had to do in my job, is work a lot with data. And I can't say that it was my favorite thing to do. It was really outside of my comfort zone, because I was expected I wasn't expected to develop, which is what I was used to doing. I was a report developer. But I was more expected to destroy what had already been developed. So I had to find the bugs. I had to try to break things and that type of thing. So that was something really different, and it could be really interesting because I worked with a lot of different languages and stuff like that. So it could be interesting and fun, but sometimes it was just tedious. And
well, there will be some unpaid but very satisfying software testing work coming up here when Derek finishes the beta of Fiend Phone. So
hey, I'll be more than happy to help out with that for sure.
What I'm getting at is, so I understand the, like, I don't have a job suddenly, and I like this job, I did well at this job, but you didn't really define yourself as this job, right?
No.
If you were independently wealthy, you wouldn't want to spend 8 hours a day doing software testing as a hobby. Oh.
Yeah, right? Probably not. No.
Then don't worry about it.
I know. Exactly. That's kind of the conclusion I came to.
I mean, if you aspired your whole life to, you know, let's say if you developed the software for that company and it was your passion and they laid you off, I think you'd have more reason to be upset about it for longer.
Yeah. Well, and it's really, I'm not upset about having lost that particular job. I'm not upset about the money. It's more of a visceral thing, I guess you could say, of, you know, what does this say about me as a mature woman, you know, and at this stage in my life? And it was easy for me to let it sort of get me down. But then I, without seeing a therapist, without, and I'm not saying therapy is not a good thing. I think it is, it can be. But I managed to, I actually had sort of an epiphany, of exactly what you said. I am not that job. It was not, it reminds me of the old, monster.com commercials where the little kids were talking about their dream job. And, you know, a couple of them, one of them said, when I grow up, I want to file all day.
Yeah.
I want to claw my way to middle management. And one of the kids said, I want to have a brown nose.
Oh my.
You know, yeah, it was a monster. I always thought that was really funny. But it's really telling. It's like so many adults find themselves in these jobs that they weren't, that was never their dream as a child.
You know, telemarketers get a lot of hassle and they rightly should. I mean, I don't see any reason legally or morally someone shouldn't be able to call you and bother you.
Right.
But I usually hang up on them. Well, I usually say, please take me off your list and then hang up on them. Or please take me off all your lists. That's the important wording that legally they're supposed to do that.
I would rather work at McDonald's than be a telemarketer. Seriously.
Yeah, I've messed with them too. I've been like, so when you were a little kid, did you have dreams? Did your parents buy you a little, you know, Debbie's first cubicle with a fake headset so you could sit around and pretend to be a telemarketer? Or did you just make a bunch of bad life decisions and end up a telemarketer?
Oh, wow. That's really funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, so now, you know, one of the things that kind of popped in my head, it was interesting how these things sort of popped in my head. And
although I like telemarketers better than people that want to grow up and be cops. And, you know,
me too.
Because usually in my experience, like from my high school, the kids that became cops were the kids that used to beat everybody up. And I'm not saying all cops are like that, but it kind of makes sense. And there's a Halloween costume being advertised in Target and other stores right now for kids. It's a SWAT outfit.
Oh, no.
And it comes with a little plastic toy grenade. And I'm like, the heck, man? What are they teaching these kids? You know, they're trying to train little kids to grow up and be the people that are going to kick in their neighbor's doors for nanny laws or even because they put the wrong, you know, some lazy secretary who got her job because it's government and she can't get fired, you know, transpose two numbers on the address and they, you know, kick in the door for the meth dealer and they shoot grandma because she thinks it's a home invasion of some non-government gang and grabs, you know, her pistol, or even if she doesn't, or at least they shoot her dog most of the time now anyway.
Yeah, that actually gives me a really good idea for some activism.
That gives me a good idea. Go ahead.
You know, maybe go into a Target or wherever they're selling these costumes and print off some stickers that say, do you really want your kid to grow up to be this? Something like that.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I wonder what the legality of that would be. It's kind of reverse shoplifting. It's like bringing something in the store and leaving it.
Well, it's not destroying the price. It's not destroying anything. It's just,
I'm sure they could charge you with something for that. I mean, they probably charge you with disturbing the peace or, you know, the, if you got seen doing it, the, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying, I wouldn't do it. And these are the things that go through my head is that, that sounds like a valid criticism and some good activism, but, you know, the store security would probably call the cops. Actually, in a lot of Walmarts now, they have cops 24 hours. Like they're, they're considered.
Well, they have people living in Walmarts, so.
Legally or illegally?
I've read a couple articles recently where, or actually might have only been one, because but I remember there was a movie about it. But recently they found that there was some 14-year-old kid that was actually living in a Walmart. He had run away from home and he was living in a Walmart. And there was a movie some years ago, Natalie Portman was in it, and she lived in a Walmart.
Was it a Walmart?
Yep. It was a Walmart.
There was also a King of the Hill episode where Chuck Mangione was living in a Walmart.
Right, yeah. Sounds like a theme.
I saw Chuck Mangione play when I was a kid at Chautauqua, New York, and I want to talk about Chautauqua later.
Okay.
When we solve all your problems. After we solve all your problems.
My problems are solved.
Are they?
I'm seeing, you know, one of the things that you know, when I first left my ex and I had like initiated all these humongous life changes, you know, people were like, oh yeah, she's going through a midlife crisis kind of thing. Yeah, that, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, it's not a crisis. It's an opportunity. You know, this is my midlife opportunity. And now now that I'm not working in a job that I didn't dream to do since I was a child, I'm free from a marriage that I was not happy in. I'm viewing it as I have this whole world out there that now I can explore and be free to do so.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I do have the luxury of not having to worry that much about the money aspect. I mean, I'm going to actively look for work, but, you know, because I actually do have a work ethic, I feel, you know,
good,
a need to be productive, but, I don't think I have to settle necessarily.
So wait, solved your problems. You just talked about them. I didn't tell you what to do about them. How could you possibly have solved them?
Oh, I was just talking about how I pretty much solved it on my own.
You just wanted to vent, and it was vent therapy. It'll be followed by some meow therapy, which is something that I invented. And
meow
it's very
therapy
useful.
Works really well. Yeah, I enjoy meow therapy. It's you know, if I'm feeling in a funky mood or something like that, I just meow and I'm all happy again.
It gets you into your primal, gets you in touch with your primal cat.
Yeah. Or play with my animals, put it that way. I do that. And I meow
and bark
at them.
Not to bring anything up when you've solved everything, but there's something you didn't say that you told me in the pregame, which is that September 11th is a big day for you, and not because it's the anniversary of, you know, the bombing of the towers in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Two years after the event, 9/11/2001, my mom died on 2011, on 9/11, on September 11th. And so in 2003, September 11th, you know, I got a phone call from my mom's neighbor who said that she had found her unconscious and called the ambulance, and it was very traumatic. And so, yeah, every year on September 11th, it's not that I don't notice that there's still the 9/11 thing, you know, never forget, blah, blah, blah. But for me, because it was so much more, you know, personally impactful, my mom died on September 11th. So that's the thing I sort of pay more attention to. And, you know, that was just one woman, but she was my mother, and she was a huge part of my life. And you know, she and I had a very volatile relationship, but in the end, you know, when push came to shove, we were always there for each other. And, you know, so yeah, I mean, it was that. So I had the divorce, the loss of a job, and the anniversary of the death of my mother, like in a matter of 2 weeks, having to deal with those things. And,
you have a good boyfriend too. I've met him. He's a great guy.
You have
a good relationship with your adult daughter. You have,
I'm very fortunate. Yeah.
You are employable. You will probably not remain unemployed for very long. It's all good.
Yeah, because most people don't know I'm 49. If I don't say I'm 49, they don't know that I'm that old.
And you got that going for you. That is true.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 therapy. Meow, therapy. Meow,
meow, therapy.
All right. Now we're cured. It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to Diana Kyler. This is Dr. Fraser Crane. Hello, Diana. I'm listening. Meow. I've been watching Fraser. You know, it's, I get tired of cop shows, and I figure, you know, if I'm going to have a guilty pleasure, it should be one who's just an incompetent, overly effete, intellectual boob, rather than people who, you know, beat up people for having pot and take their property and throw them in a cage, which is, you know, I like cop shows because the writing's really good in cop shows usually. They don't, they understand drama, the people that make cop shows, but, you know, it's kind of reinforcing that the state is good. You know, Law and Order, they're always like, we'd be able to catch that child murderer if it weren't for that pesky Constitution. You know, if it weren't for those, that darned Bill of Rights. Yeah. I mean, hey, so it seems like that's the message in all the cop shows is like the Constitution must be violated because it gets in the way of catching real bad guys.
Yeah. Do you have cable TV or satellite or anything?
Yeah, I don't watch it much. I have cable.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a really good cop show I like. It's called The Bridge.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It is a cop show. It has a couple of cops that are actually good cops, but it shows all the corruption and potential for corruption.
Ever since the French Connection and the Dirty Harry movies, there's been a motif of cop shows that I like. It's basically every character, including the cops, are morally ambiguous, or the people who are supposed to be good have a lot of evil in them, or the people who are supposed to be evil have a lot of good in them. And that was before the 70s, cops were heroes. Cops were like cartoon character heroes in movies, you know?
Adam 12 or something like
Adam
that.
12 Adam 12 was made in conjunction with the LAPD. It was a huge multi-million-dollar nightly ad. For, you know, there was Adam 12, there was Emergency, which was the fire and rescue one. There was Rampart 50. Oh, that was Adam 12. Yeah, I went back and watched a bunch of the Adam 12s a while back. There was some crazy stuff in there, like cops, cops protecting everyone from everything. There was one, my favorite. Like this is creative writing, and this is the most ridiculous, like stupid thing that people were doing in a fictional show that the cops ever saved the neighborhood from. There were two hippies sitting on their back porch. Do you know where I'm going with this, or is it just that's funny already?
I suspect I know where you're going with it. Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you know this. I mean, this is, you know, they did hundreds of episodes, but there's two hippies sitting on their back porch in Los Angeles, in the city, in a crowded neighborhood. They're sniffing glue on a porch, and somehow they have gotten a box of dynamite, like a box of, you know, 48 sticks of dynamite, and they have tied a rope around it and pulled it up into a tree. So it's like 20 feet off the ground, about 30 or 40 feet away from them. And they have a rifle, and they're sniffing glue and swinging back and forth on the porch, shooting with a rifle, almost point blank for rifle distance, at a box of dynamite that, you know, first of all, they're spraying rifle bullets, you know, into Los Angeles where it could hit somebody and kill, like at that angle for sure. Right. And then they're shooting at a box of dynamite, which if it went off would kill them and like take out, you know, four houses deep around them, probably with, you know, shrapnel flying through people's heads. Yeah. And they didn't even arrest them. They just like, took the gun and the glue and the dynamite away and gave him a warning. Like that's wow. how cops alleged. That's not how cops were. Cops no, beat up hippies in the all. 60s for being hippies, man.
Yeah, for yeah. having long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the movie Easy Rider for the first time in a long time recently.
Yeah, that's stuff happened. Have you ever seen it? My wife grew up in Texas and she was a punk rocker, which was weirder than being a hippie. Yeah. So I want to say really quick, this is going to get me in trouble, but 9/11, you know, they're still like milking that, like, we must invade definitely. Everybody. It was a horrible thing. It was a horrible thing, but it's like, before that happened, rural Americans hated New Yorkers. Like, you know, that commercial, like, Your salsa's from New York City. Get a rope. Like, if you're from New York, everybody hated New Yorkers. And then all of a sudden, everyone claimed New Yorkers after that happened.
Right.
It was weird. Yeah.
It is weird. Was that weird? Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know.
I am a New Yorker.
I'm born in New York State, but that's another story. I left as soon as I could get out. Worms.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Freedom Fiend, and we're practicing meow therapy, something I invented. I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not even a qualified therapist. I'm not a therapist, but meow therapy works for myself and Diana and most of my friends. And I do want to give some cat care tips at some point today, because my wife and I discovered some things about cats that we've had cats forever and really didn't know this, and we're gonna tell you how to make your cats happier. But I wanted to continue for a second on, and then we're going to talk about what's wrong with kids today. What's wrong with these kids today?
Especially boys.
Yeah, but this is not some feminist rant, because what's wrong with boys is how women raise them. Okay. I'm not going to blame women for the problems of the world, but not at all, man. I think most humans of both sexes are pretty messed up. I'm an equal opportunity misanthrope. yes, nihilist. I'm nihilist Crane. This is Dr. Nihilist Crane. All right. I mean, what I was going to say when we got the tangent on cop shows was, I like Frasier because I need guilty pleasure, kind of like turn off my brain, because my big juicy brain does too much thinking. Mm-hmm. And not too much, but it does a lot, and it gets overheated. And what cools it down and lets it regenerate and get better and stronger, even at my advanced age of 50, is fitty. Is watching. I can't wait till you're fitty, because you love the term. I'm fitty. Yeah. So I like watching stupid shows that don't require a lot of thought. I mean, I read technical books. I read complicated things. I watch complicated plot movies. I can comprehend the complex, but I like to enjoy the simple. And I look for things that have multiple seasons of shows that have already finished that are good. And I like the more seasons there are, the less good they have to be, because then I can actually just go back to that stupid place really easily. And the show Frasier finished in the 80s or early 90s, and it has like 13 or 14 seasons of like, you know, 30 episodes each, something like that. So
really, I didn't realize it went that long.
I think it went longer than Cheers. It was a spinoff of Cheers, and I think it went longer. But yeah, and it's you know, I like it because it's the guy is a radio talk show host. It's like, you know, it's like stupid comedy with RE20 microphones. So I feel at home. And, you know, the joke is that he's a therapist who can't even run his own life and has a lot of mental problems and gives bad advice on the radio. That's funny to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like
it is
that
funny.
Show.
Speaking of complex plots, have you ever seen the movie Primer?
No.
Yeah, it's a time travel movie, and it was made with a budget of like $7,000 or something.
Huh.
But it has this kind of huge cult following.
Yeah.
But it is extremely complex. It goes into a lot of, you know, theoretical time travel physics type stuff, and it's just, I mean, you basically have to watch it and then go and read about, you know, what in the world they were talking about.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't like that. I don't really like things that are so complicated that they need appendices and compendiums and discussion groups, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie Fight Club is kind of a pop culture, like complicated, kind of complicated movie for stupid people and smart people. It's not that complicated, though. I like the time travel film, lowish budget film, Looper, the Looper film with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I haven't actually
seen it.
That's
really good for what it is. You know, it requires a lot of suspension of disbelief, of course. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, naturally.
I also liked it. I think silver and gold are commodities in there. Like, basically, people are sent back to in time to terminate other people. And when they show up, they have a bunch of like silver bars strapped under their coat, like A, as a bulletproof vest, and B, so they have some money that's spendable in that reality. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a website called How Many Time Travel Movies Has Bruce Willis Starred In? That's pretty funny. Yeah. 12 Monkeys was one. There was the time travel thing in that was, he was receiving a telephone call from the future or the past, and it was like of himself telling, or somebody's telling him something, and it was very degraded, like the audio quality had been degraded through the time travel somehow. But I think I'm going to call this episode something like The Freedom Fiends Time Traveling Radio into the Future, because I have this awesome photo that our IT guy and programmer Derek Slopey took of, he bought this giant satellite dish, like 7 feet in diameter or something, and, you know, rented a cherry picker truck or borrowed one from a friend and installed it on his roof. And it's like, you know, this is not your mother's satellite dish, like dish TV little thing you stick on the fire escape that's an 18 inches. This is like, you know, this thing looks like it's, you know, Cold War Soviet Army surplus that probably served in the, you know, at some naval Soviet naval station near the Arctic Circle.
I would have to assume he doesn't have an HOA to deal with.
No, he's not even on Google Maps, man. I know his address and I've looked it up, and it's like, you can find the dirt road that leads to the private road he's on. Yeah. It's one of those, like, I mean, I joke about living in a windowless bunker in a remote location. I don't. I live, that's kind of a mental state I kind of keep to my own, but you know, any of my neighbors could stand in their yard on any four sides and throw an apple into my yard. Put it that way. You know, I'm not that
you're in
remote.
A neighborhood.
Yeah. But I don't have an HOA. We don't have an HOA, but,
that's good.
He doesn't even have, I don't think he's even like in an incorporated village. I think it's, you know, disputed zone is how it would come up on the phone bill if they still, you know, charged by places when you called places.
Yeah. HOAs are basically agents of the state, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, they are. It's like another, like as if like the UN, the federal government, the state government, the county government, and the local government weren't enough. It's volunteering to sign up for another government. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. We had one in California. The thing I don't like about homeowners association agreements, I mean, they are voluntary, but it's signing a contract that's still being written. It's signing a contract to be determined later. Mm-hmm. And they can change them in any way they want. And I've seen people have to like get involved in politics to rule their own property under an HOA. Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous. You know,
like have to lobby to get voted on the HOA board so they can plant petunias in their yard. Like, that's ridiculous.
I know.
Man.
Yeah. What color you want to paint your mailbox or something like that.
Well, the thing was where we lived, like everybody had pretty good lighting around their houses and all the houses looked the same, but they never put a light behind our house. And we had someone try to break in on that side of the house through the window. Mm-hmm. And that's why we ended up buying guns and then moved to Wyoming, because you can't carry guns outside the house in California pretty much unless you're a movie star. or a diamond dealer or the head of Scientology or a judge. Literally. I mean, that's who can get a carry permit in Los Angeles County, those people.
Wow.
So it took us 9 months of threatening lawyer letters to get permission to pay ourselves to get an electrician to put a motion sensor light on the back of the house. And by the time they actually not only granted permission, but they came and put a light and paid for it themselves. But by the time that happened, we were moving to Wyoming. We were just fed up with this, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about cat resources.
Right.
We recently had an occasion with a cat just kind of like flipped out and started, let's just say not doing something where he's normally supposed to do it in that box. So right. We took him to the vet and it was like, there was nothing wrong with him. We got a bunch of blood tests. There was nothing physically wrong with him. And it turned out to be conflicts over resources. And right. Like it had changed in the cat's minds overnight because they'd been fine for years together. So basically cats need multiple food dishes, water dishes, litter boxes, entry and exit points, you know, escape routes in the house, like doorways and and places to hide. And they will fight over all those resources. So basically all we had to do was like add an extra food dish, a couple extra food dishes around the house, a couple extra water dishes, another litter box in a room that didn't have one. And the thing just solved itself. We also got this stuff that's called Feel Away. That's it's like cat pheromones. It's the same. It's synthetic pheromones of what a mother cat gives off when she's nursing. And you can get like wall plugins, and you can get spray, and you spray it around the house, and you plug in the wall plug-in, and it totally calms all the cats. And it actually made them a little bit more needy because they suddenly revert to like mother cat nurse, you know, nursing cat with mother memories. But it's better to have them needy and loving than like, you know, pooing all over. And, and I got to say,
your bed. Find a little present on your bed.
I got to say, I'd rather have cats pooing than peeing, because cat poo, you can clean
that's
up.
That's the worst.
Cat pee is like you sell the house and move, man. You get rid of the cat, you sell the house and move.
Yeah, I think I'll probably have to have my carpet replaced.
Cat pheromone spray that you don't spray it on the cat. You don't spray it on their food. You spray it like, you know, just around the house, just places to walk through. And here's the thing. The plug-in ones, they're kind of expensive. It's like, I don't know, $40 a month for one or two of these. And I read a tip somewhere that's really good is get one of those little timer, like light timer plug things. And after you've done it for a few days, all the time to calm the cats down, they don't need it all the time. You can like save money by plugging it in one of those timers, you know, like the thing they used in Breaking Bad to blow up the drug lab with, one of those little like timers you can set to be on or off certain hours, like, you know, what people use when they leave and to have it look like the lights are turning on and off in the house. Just plug it into one of those and then set it like every other hour or every third hour.
Yeah, that's cool. I had some problems with my cat for a while. Using
our cats
I had some problems with her, and all I did was I changed her litter box.
Got a new one.
I got a new one. It's one that it's not one of those enclosed ones. I had an enclosed one just because I didn't want to have to see that.
Yeah, some cats don't like the enclosed one. Like, I'll put the non-enclosed ones in the basement and put an enclosed one upstairs. And you got to clean those every day. Sometimes every other day if the cats aren't getting along, because they do like territorial mark with those. So that's cat tips on the Freedom Fiends. This is the show with everything.
That's right.
Everything you need. We got it all right here. We'll solve your job problems, your love life, and your cat problems.
Sweet.
Meow.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
Meow therapy. This is the Freedom Fiends, and Diana and I are doing our not patented, open to anyone, meow therapy. And
meow therapy.
You can start doing it right now. It just makes you feel better to go.
Meow. It does. Meow.
So speaking of cats, I'm going to do an unpaid testimonial for something that changed my life. Maybe I'll actually contact these people. But the first hit's free, and then you're hooked to advertising on the Fiends. But the spray that we used was not the one I mentioned. It's Sentry, not like end of the century with a C, but Sentry with an S, like someone who guards guards your cats. S-E-N-T-R-Y. Sentry calming spray for dogs and cats. We got that and sprayed around the house. We reallocated... we added cat resources like they recommend on their website and like our vet recommended. And then we got the Sentry plug-in air freshener kind of thing. And we put it, we didn't know where to put it because we have a, you know, 2000 square foot house. So we put it, we actually have this tiny hallway with five doors. It's kind of weird. It kind of connects all the upstairs rooms. So basically the cats, it's the only place in the house every cat passes through many times a day. So we put it in there. And, you know, moved the little stepladder we had in front of it so it's not covered up, so it's actually misting into the hallway. So the cats are mellow, man. Sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y, calming spray for dogs and cats. Now, the thing I've heard with this kind of therapy is it doesn't work for all cats. It's kind of hit and miss. Some cats it works like a miracle. Some cats it just doesn't work. It never seems to make it worse. It doesn't make them fight or anything like that. But, you know, if you get it and try it and it doesn't work, there may be other issues, but or your cats just may not respond to it. But it really worked miracles for us, this Sentry cat calming spray. And if you read the reviews of it on Amazon, you know, it's about like 80% people saying, oh, my God, this is a godsend. And 20% people saying, like, this didn't work. I want my money back. And it's like, it's not that it didn't work. You know, it doesn't work. It's that it doesn't seem to work on some cats. They're immune to the synthetic pheromones of a nursing mother. But our cats like it, and they've become really sweet.
That's cool. How many cats do you have?
Three.
Three. I'm wondering if maybe it's possible that the spray worked on one or two of them, and because it worked on one or two of them, that cat then started to produce pheromones that the other cats could sense.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Because, the two cats it seemed to work best on, to the point of that they're like almost needier. They are needier now, but it's not a horrible thing. Like, we don't mind cats clinging to us. We like it. But those two were feral for the first 6 months of their life. Well, not feral, like, not, they were motherless. Like, they were removed from their mother and then given to a shelter. And they were in a shelter for 6 months, so they didn't even nurse as long as they should have. And we got them from a shelter at 6 months. And they still do a lot of, like, kneading blankets and, like, sucking on each other's ears and things, which is indicative of cats that were weaned too young. And they're not very trusting of a lot of people. Like, we don't have a lot of company. We're kind of a, you know, nation of two. And when a workman comes over, you know, plumber, electrician, whatever, when somebody they don't know is in the house, they literally run and hide as soon as the door opens. And then they like come out an hour, you know, half hour after the person leaves the house. And there's nothing we can do about it other than, I guess we could have a lot more friends, which we don't really want. You know, we could have a lot more company as cat therapy, but we don't really care.
Right.
You know, it doesn't harm them.
No.
Yeah. So speaking of, people who aren't loved correctly, we want to talk about youngsters. This whole thing came out with Roger Elliott, the kid that shot a bunch of women and men because he couldn't.
It's actually Elliot Roger.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there seemed to be like a lot of angry young men who hate women these days because they can't get any, you know, because they can't talk to women or they don't know how to deal with them. There's probably girls like this too. I don't talk to many young people. I mean, there are Fiend fans that are, you know, 18, 19, and there's one of our co-hosts is 15. He's a co-host with his parents' permission, and he's getting school credit for it. But I don't know many, you know, people that young. What about girls? Is there the girl equivalent of, you know, angry young, you know, teen, like 18-year-old boys that can't get any romance and hate the world for it?
I've never experienced that with any of my friends. I've certainly not experienced that myself. And you know, one of the things that I think is that these boys like Elliot Roger, that I think that more than likely there's a couple of things going on. One is that they're setting their standards far too high.
The other is that they're gay.
That wasn't the other thing I was thinking about.
See, let me interrupt you there. I had a friend who was like that when he was young. The singer for the band Millions of Dead Cops, MDC, Dave Victor. There was this other band that was related to them. Gary Floyd was in a band that was, you know, he was also in the band at the time. Oh, let me tell that story when we come back. I can't get it out before the radio ads cut me off. Here we are.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends, meow therapy, broadcasting into space. And you know, we have this kind of joke savior fantasy about the Freedom Fiends. I've always wanted to be on radio for a number of reasons. I've worked my whole life to do this. I was into ham radio as a kid. I took the ham radio, you know, took the licensure test back when you needed. I couldn't pass the Morse code, but I passed the math and science part of it. But now you don't need the Morse code. I guess I could become a ham operator now. I know the NATO alphabet, the you know, Freedom Fiends. That's Fiends, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. You know, I've learned that. I could be on radio. But I really wanted to be when I was a kid, I think I wanted to be like a disc jockey, but say fun things between the songs, because there wasn't really talk radio like there is now in the 70s, at least not syndicated to the point where I would have heard it in my little town in upstate New York. Now it's everywhere. And we're the Freedom Fiends are kind of making a bold new version of it with our sister show, the Free Talk Lives. Free Talk Live been around longer and they're on more stations, but we are the only two shows so far that are straight up no government. You know, we want to reduce government to the point where it drowns itself in the bathtub because no one cares about it. We want to encourage people to just go, that's square, man. Who would want leaders to tell them what to do? And that's not what happens on most talk radio. Most of it is the Democrats are horrible, and they are, right. And they are, mm-hmm. But then they mm-hmm. say, and the Republicans will restore the Republic. And I'm like, no, that hasn't worked out very well. I mean,
no.
George Bush put in the Patriot Act, which basically just raped the Bill of Rights to the point where they could go in your house now without a warrant and look around. They can tap all your phones. They can read all your emails, you know, all of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yep.
And, so we have
that's
this,
not good.
We have this fantasy, though. I have this fantasy. It's a collective hallucination that I've encouraged in the Freedom Fiends. It's basically that AM terrestrial radio does broadcast into space. So does FM. Like, literally, it leaks into space. And I have a theory that since the nearest possibly habitable planet is near the Alpha Centauri region, 4.3 mm-hmm. light years away, and radio travels at the speed of light. So it would take 4.3 years for our voices, for the first show I did with Nima Vedotti back in the day, mm-hmm. to get to...
what's up, E.T.?
To Alpha Centauri. Yeah, yeah. So we've been on radio like, you know, 1.3 years. So in 3 years, the aliens, the hyper-intelligent aliens, are going to hear the Freedom Fiends and go, you know, we've been listening to radio and TV from this planet for 100 years, and this is the first signs of intelligent life we've had from this planet. Yeah. And we're going to help them out. They're going to come down here and give us this, like, you know, we don't even need to move to Somalia to get away from the government. We're just going to have, like, mm-hmm. shield technology, like a, you know, 500 square foot sovereign leaderless world that follows us around and protects us from government and tyranny. So we can just have domes over our houses, and maybe they'll yeah. just email us the technology. So that's yeah. our theory. We're broadcasting into space so we can get saved from the government.
Have you seen the movie Contact or read the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Contact recently. That's what that made me think of. But the first broadcast they received from us was a televised broadcast of Hitler introducing the Olympic Games in Munich.
Ugh. That's not a good first impression.
Berlin, yeah.
Yeah, where he wouldn't like put the medal on the black guy who won it. Yeah, that's not right. a good first impression as a planet, no. I would say.
Still liked us, and they still sent us, you know, all the, you know, the blueprints to build this device to travel to where they were. And
is that with Jodie Foster?
So, yeah, that was such a good movie.
I got to see favorites. That again because that mm-hmm. you know I haven't seen it since it came out when I was probably a teenager. But
the book is amazing. I read the book, and the book actually made me want to become an astronomer. But
so we are. This
so much
is
math involved.
This is the Freedom Fiends, which is all tangents all the time. And we actually mm-hmm. were talking about youngsters and what's wrong with them. But you're going to read a statement about the wonders of a libertarian paradise right here on Earth in America. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So yeah. So if there was a place where thousands of liberty-minded people are moving to and rolling back government, would you move? If freedom lovers were stopping government intrusion in one place, would you move? Well, if the answer is yes, it's time to sign the pledge at freestateproject.org. These things have happened in New Hampshire, and you can join us and help. That's freestateproject.org.
Excellent. Thank you.
I signed. I'm a signer.
I went to Porkfest. I like Porkfest a lot.
Yeah, Porkfest was awesome.
Yeah, man. It was great. All right, so we're going to talk about what's wrong with youngsters today. And we're talking about Roger Elliott. Is that his name?
Elliot Roger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The guy who shot a bunch of people because women didn't like him, which was kind of astonishing to him because he was really good looking and he was rich and drove a Maserati or something. And it's like, you know,
and I'm here to tell you that most women of substance they don't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, to me, you know, I like good looking guys. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I like to look at good looking guys, but if you're not smart and funny, forget about it. You know?
Yeah. And here's what I want to say
and kind too. Yeah.
I had a friend. I have a friend, Gary Floyd. Now I was starting to tell the story, but then we crashed up against the ads, and I didn't have enough time to tell it well. So I did realize after I started to mull this over during the ads, I like a lot of bands that you can't say their name on the radio. I was talking about the band Millions of Dead Cops, MDC. That's pretty inflammatory, but you can say that on the radio, that there was a band called that. Mm-hmm. There was a guy named Gary Floyd who was in that band for a while, but then left that band or started his own band, or the singer from the other band was in that band for a while. There was crossover. They were both from Austin, Texas, and had moved to San Francisco. MDC, the band of Millions of Dead Cops, were my upstairs neighbors and good friends when I lived on Lander Street in San Francisco, across from Mission Dolores. Now, this is kind of funny. When the Pope came to San Francisco and gave mass at Mission Dolores, which is like was the first building, I think, in San Francisco, the small church mm-hmm. and where the cemetery is behind it. And then later uh-huh. they built the big one. It's a landmark. People make pilgrimages right. to go to this church. MDC lived across the street on the second floor of like a 5-story building. They went up on the roof of their building, like, you know, Beatles Get Back style, and played, and they played on the roof while the Pope was coming up the street in his Pope mobile to millions of people. And, and they locked the door to the roof, but the San Francisco Police Department broke the lock on the door, went up, stopped them from playing, did not arrest them, but confiscated all their equipment. And it took them like a lawyer in a week to get it back.
Oh my God.
But it was really funny because they took pictures of uniformed San Francisco police officers carrying the band Millions of Dead Cops equipment down the stairs. And they published that in this magazine called Maximum Rock and Roll, MRR, which was the punk rock Rolling Stone, basically. Mm-hmm. And the caption on the picture, it was cops carrying MDC's equipment, stealing it, basically. But the caption on it was MDC's new roadies. I thought that was funny. So, but their friend, their good friend, Gary Floyd, who was in a band called, let's just call them the Richards. I can't say on the radio what they're called.
I understand. Yes.
And there's a song called Gary Floyd, about Gary Floyd. He was kind of a hero in the Texas punk rock music scene. There's a band called, let's just say, the BH Surfers. Probably mm-hmm. can't say their name on radio. But they have a song called Gary Floyd. Like, Gary Floyd is coming to town. Like about, it's kind of like a punk rock folk song about how great Gary Floyd is. Mm-hmm. Gary Floyd went to all these bands went to the University of Texas in Austin, which mm-hmm. is heavily populated by like tall, blonde, debutante Texan superwomen, like the people who would grow up to run Bush's campaign, like that kind of
right,
women.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're genetically engineered, I think, in the basement of the University of Texas. they're all 6 feet tall and blonde and beautiful and don't want to talk to people like me or Gary Floyd or Dave Dichter or, you know, yeah. the BH Surfers. And there's an apocryphal story that's actually true because I know people who were there. And it happened more than once, is when Gary Floyd was going to that school, he would run up to packs of women like that and point at them and scream in front of everyone, "It's women like you that made me gay." But he was pretty happy as a gay man and had a great band and people dug him. And, you know, he didn't go shoot the women. He just pointed right. at them and made fun of them, which is much very preferable to shooting them.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
So that's how we dealt with that back. That's how he dealt with yeah. that back in the day. I dealt with that's it by, you know, being with him. Not yeah. not those women, but and I'm yeah. not bragging, but I don't understand young people that don't have the social skills to find a mate of some kind.
Yeah, and these guys like Elliot Rodger, they think that all it takes is looks and money.
Yeah, man.
And it's so much more than that. And that's the least of it. You know, it's social skills. It's just being, I mean, let me tell you something. I don't consider myself a bad looking woman.
No, you're not.
And I've been with some guys that were not, you know, they were kind of like that, I don't know, that old song about the, you know, the kind of ugly guy with a good looking girl. Like, I've been with some guys that were not considered to be good looking, but they were super smart. They had great personalities. They, were really funny. And to me, that's what's most important, yeah. You know, and they knew how to handle themselves, and they, you know, they didn't care that they, you know, weren't that good looking and didn't have a lot of money. You know, it's like, dude, just, you know, be yourself.
Yeah.
If you have a self, find yourself.
Except for a short diversion when I was in a rock band, when I was dating seven women at once, which is.
Oh, I didn't care how you looked if you were in a rock band.
Yeah, I was in a really good rock band too. And I'm not bragging, because that's not seven times the fun. It's like seven times the hassle, and one of them is always trying to stab you in your sleep. It can't be done, really. So I pretty much, since I was about 16, I've been a sequential monogamist. I have been in a monogamous relationship after monogamous relationship pretty much since I was 16, and I'm 50, and I've been happily married for 8 years. And people say that that's like psychological, like there's something wrong with you. You go from one relationship to the other. And I'm like,
what?
I don't know about that. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to have a mate and have a partner in life, not just someone you sleep with, but someone you do stuff with and want to hang out. And I pretty much, you know, there's the longest I ever have gone without being with somebody. And I'm not just talking about like, you know, getting on one night stand. I'm talking about like being with somebody is 9 months since I was 16. And
that's not long.
That's not that long, man. And no.
It probably felt like forever for you at the time, though.
I didn't really care. I was busy. And it was actually like my first 9 months at college, and it wasn't like I'm at college, I don't know how to talk to these women. It was like I probably had a couple one night stands in there. It was more like just I was like, wow, college, this is interesting. I'm away from home, you know, like what do I do? I was busy learning, man.
Yeah. Cool.
So I think really it's like, basically, kids are sheltered from anything that could hurt them. They have to wear helmets. They can't go in the woods alone. They can't do the stuff we did when we were kids.
Yeah, and I think that probably has a lot to do with it.
Yep.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends.
Mouth therapy.
Patented. It's not patented. It's licensed Creative Commons. Anyone can use meow therapy as long as they credit me, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. So I wanted to give out a URL. I did say earlier in the show, if you want to contact program directors and let them know about the Freedom Fiends, I wanted to give out the URL that you can send them. It's freedomfiends.com/PD. PD like police department. No, it's program director. So actually look at that first and then cut and paste it to make sure you have the right URL. But that's what I would send out with a description of, hey, there's this great show. Because it's got a, you know, a link to episodes, it's got a description, it's got the program clock, it's got the satellite feed info, it's got the affiliate agreement, it's got where to fax the affiliate agreement, it's got the, and it's got a promo that has Diana at the end imitating a Southern television preacher. It's pretty funny. She was asking me about that. We were talking about the ad that played for Cat Moth, which is our, you know, it used to say, that was a different ad that we updated. The old ad said CatMuff was a political action committee. I changed it, bipartisan political action committee. I changed it to play during on the radio. We made it for the podcast back before we were on radio. I changed political action committee to flock of sheep. It now says a bipartisan flock of sheep because I don't want to get in trouble playing that on the radio because there's actually like laws of what you could call a political action committee. And the old ad said it was a parody at the end, but the old ad was a minute 43 seconds. I had to make a 30-second version for radio. And we made it election specific, which is pretty funny because we'll be playing with real political ads on the radio.
Cat muff.
And that's not a dirty thing. A cat muff, my wife says a cat muff is like a mink stole made out of cats. It's a cat muff. You know, that's something that ladies use to keep their face warm in the winter, and it's made out of cats. That's horrible. All right, so
They're so warm, though, and furry.
It's a live – it's when your live cat is wrapped around your throat while you're sleeping. That's a cat muff on a cold winter's night. Yeah, we're not talking about doing bad things to cats. We're talking about when they just lay on your face and lay around your neck and because they think you're a mother cat and they have pheromones and they're kneading your face. So we wanted to talk about young men today and what's wrong with them. So I was going to talk about – I'm not bragging – that I never was without a woman in my whole life. And I'm not talking about like, you know, one night stands. I'm talking about serial monogamy, which is kind of my natural state. I'm not bragging. I'm saying what's wrong with youngsters today or society to where that's an issue? Because I've always thought like there's somebody for everybody and there's somebody for everyone. And Tommy's Love was Becky. I love that song.
yeah.
Coward of the County. Great song.
Right.
No. So the thing is, I always thought like and I grew up in the 70s when like people weren't as promiscuous as they are now. And like I didn't know anybody who was 18 who wasn't with somebody, man. It was like everybody had a boyfriend or girlfriend when I was 18 or 19 in the, you know, 64, 74, like early 80s. And apparently I'm told like youngsters are much more promiscuous now. But there seemed to be this like species of young male who isn't with anybody but wants to be and then ends up like murdering people or making websites exposing other people's sex lives and making up lies about them. I've seen that. I don't understand it. Here's how I learned not only to talk to women and feel comfortable around them and treat them like equals, but also to talk to everybody. And this is a unique situation not everyone grew up in, but I would have done this anyway, even in some respect, even if I hadn't grown up in Chautauqua. I grew up in Chautauqua, which is a weird gated community in upstate New York where my mother had a store. It's got like 20,000 people in the summer and like 300 in the winter. It's a ghost town. It's really fun in the winter to go like walk around there. But it's this 1 square mile thing with a fence around it and a lake on one side of it. And I just like everyone's there for like 9 weeks and it was all brilliant musicians and ballerinas. And like, you know, I'd walk up to people, just start talking to them and learn to be their friend because everyone is leaving in 9 weeks. And also like ballerinas liked having their feet and their back rubbed. So I learned to lay my hands on the ladies early on when I was like 15. So
And heel them with me out there.
Yeah, but before that, I would walk up to anybody and just talk to them. That's been my whole life. I've never had fear of people. What's wrong with the way they're raising kids today? I think it's they're trying to protect them too much.
Yeah, and a lot of it, but I think it's an entitlement mentality as well. You know, it's like they raise their kids that they deserve the best of everything.
They're raised to think they can be anything, but they're not allowed to do anything. Right. That's the problem. So
they never have to really face rejection.
Let your kids run free in the woods. That's what I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not responsible for anything that happens to your kids running around in the woods. All right. This is Freedom Feeds out. Meow.